We'll bring Alvin Williams, our friend, into the conversation. Raptors analyst for Sportsnet. Did you feel that? I almost felt like the Raptors played too good of a game for this to kind of be down to the last couple possessions, Alvin.
Yeah, they play. I mean, they did play a good game. The Raptors still are one of those teams where offensively they can go on lulls because just of the style of play. But last night they made a lot of shots. They made the three ball. The three ball was going in for them. Kyle Lowry was very aggressive. DeMar played solid. But Milwaukee Bucks, they just have one of those situations where they have a lot of good athletes that is going to allow them to stay competitive. And once you can stay competitive and the game moves at a certain pace and moves up and down, depending on the time of the game, you're never out of it. So as well as the Raptors shot the ball and as aggressive as they looked, the Bucks were still poised to make it come down to the wire.
Yeah, Lowry's the guy we were all watching, right, yesterday, Alvin, and he was 6-12 from the field and 2-5 from three, but just looked so much better. A different guy from game one. Is that playoff narrative that he's had trouble in the postseason, is it over with one game? Does he have to play that way the entire series? When do we stop wondering whether Kyle Lowry's going to show up in playoff games?
No, I just think Kyle just needs to play aggressive. You know, I don't think the narrative is probably ever going to be over as long as you're critiquing and you're watching someone and you're as close as to the situation. You're going to always wonder what's going on. But Kyle just needs to play. When you see Kyle be aggressive, not about his shots going in and, you know, not about anything else, but when he's aggressive and he's being decisive on the floor, you know Kyle Lowry is tuned in. And once he's doing those things, he has the ability to take over a game. His first half was a strong first half. Mm-hmm. Second half wasn't as strong, but then you see him still come back and he makes that big-time shot, which we're used to seeing him do in fourth quarter time after time. So Kyle Lowry just has to make sure he stays that aggressive and has that mindset of leading the team at all costs, and then I think everything else will follow.
Yeah, you know what I was going to say about that last shot, too? Alvin, I don't care about the narrative, to be honest, because when is the narrative worth a hill of beans? It's when it actually, you know, translates into strategy or things you do on the court. Kyle Lowry, okay, here's a guy that he historically hasn't shot well in the playoffs. And who has the ball with 8 seconds to go and is shooting the dagger at the end of the game? That guy. So we can talk about it all we want. Who else do you want shooting that shot? Nobody. That's not going to change.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what the team makeup is. The team makeup is Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. You know, they're leading the team. You know what I mean? Offensively, emotionally. Now you have pieces that can help that. You know, with P.J. Tucker, Serge Ibaka, you still have Damari Carroll. You have Corey Joseph. You have these emotional guys that feed the team right behind Kyle and DeMar. But, you know, during the playoffs, it's not too many guys that keep that level of play from a statistical standpoint above and beyond. Teams are really strategizing. They're scheming to stop these guys. So it's not going to be an easy output anytime. So just making those adjustments and the coaches putting players in positions to be successful is another part of the game.
I was blown away by Serge's second half, Alvin, with the ankle injury and a couple of days ago saying he probably couldn't play if the game was on Tuesday. And first half didn't quite look himself, but the second half, a couple of massive threes and the final numbers very, very good across the board. And that was incredible for me. I know he kind of goes under the radar because this is the Kyle Lowry redemption game, but he was, man, a huge story in the second half yesterday.
No, he was huge. I mean, but it started with Serge with those two monster shot blocks, you know, block shots, you know, at the rim. He met Giannis at the rim, and he met Thon Maker at the rim. And those opportunities on the defensive end sparked the offense. And it does that over time and time again. Like, we never can lose sight of how the defense sparks offense. When your offense is struggling, and you tell little kids this, right, when they're first starting, you know, concentrate on defense. And Serge's strength is his defense. It's always been, since he's been in the NBA, he's been, you know, a heck of a defensive player. And that's what he's supposed to bring to the team night in and night out. Now, with the addition of him making shots, that's a bonus. Mm-hmm. You know, he's worked on his game, and he's elevated his game to that, and you got to give him credit. But his strong point is his defense, and that's what started his run yesterday, along with those shots being made. So he played a great game.
That block on Thon Maker, was incredible. And you know, maybe in hockey you're sitting on the bench and you get energized by this big hit and it gets everybody going. That's kind of the equivalent, is it not? Like when you stuff a guy like that and it starts the transition, that has to give life to everybody on the floor, Alvin.
Oh, no, definitely. And not only gives it life to your teammates, it takes life out of the other team. You know, that's very discouraging when you go up for an easy shot, you think, and you're going up for a dunk and it gets rejected. And that's what happened to the Raptors in the first game. You know, every time they went to the basket, it was tough. It was tough opportunity. Shots were getting blocked. Shots were being changed. And it makes you just change your mindset. Now you're a little passive. You're not as aggressive as you normally would be. Now you're looking over your shoulder. So it changes the game in so many ways from an offensive standpoint, from team to team. So those emotional plays right there are what it's all about, you know, and those plays, you can never take, you know, the value from that.
It's funny, and you know, playoff time, the game's a little different, right? And we, for a long time this season, kind of, as a collective, kind of missed Bismack Biyombo, and we know why he's in Orlando. He's $17 million a year. Just wasn't going to make sense. But you didn't have to be a big basketball analyst to realize what they were missing and that defensive energy. And it took a while, but in Serge Ibaka, and like you said, when he's hitting shots from the outside, he is Bismack Biyombo a little bit, plus that added bonus. You know, it's no surprise that defensively this team has come together with a guy like that in the middle.
No, not at all. And I was saying all year what the team missed with Serge Ibaka. I mean, Bismack Biyombo. You know, the team missed that energy guy, that person to defend the paint, the person that could guard the perimeter guys, could switch, make multiple plays. And once the trade, once Serge was acquired through trade, you got the same type of shot blocking ability. You got the person that can guard multiple positions, but now you got someone that can knock down an open shot. So now, taking nothing away from Bismack, he's a better version. He's a better player at that position as long as he does those defensive things. And sometimes as players, you get a little sidetracked. You know, it's the sexy thing, it's the cute thing to be able to make shots and the crowd screaming your name because you made a shot, and you forget about your defense. But once you put all those things together, the Raptors are a much more dangerous team when Serge is playing like that.
Yeah, I mean, the NBA in basketball is a game where, yeah, the excitement comes through offense. It comes through big dunks and big shots. But I can't remember a guy like P.J. Tucker, Alvin, where he gets in his defensive stance and the crowd gets into it, like, immediately. And yesterday, an incredible job again. Like, I just can't remember that guy for the Raptors that, I mean, the fans are knowledgeable enough to understand what kind of a defender he is, but he gets into that, and it you feel an energy get just around that Air Canada Center when he gets into that defensive stance.
Man, PJ is a dog. He's and I mean that in a good way. He's a grown man that takes the challenge that you love that. You love that throwback player where I'm going to do whatever I need to do on the defensive end to make it a struggle and make it tough as possible for you. And that transcends and through the whole teams. You know, that goes through the whole team. That's a mentality. That's a mindset. So what PJ does from an emotional standpoint and his ability on the defensive end, then making shots with a net will, you know, naturally will come the longer he's on the floor. But what he brings to that team from emotional and from a defensive standpoint is something that's irreplaceable. And like you said, the Toronto fan base is so knowledgeable now, and they know how important that is. You know, when I played, it was real important to see Vince Carter dunk and stuff like that. And you actually, you know, now you actually know more about the game, the importance of certain positions and stuff like that. So the fan base has grown so much, and it helps the players play like that because it's appreciated.
So Alvin Williams joins us on the Andrew Walker Show, Raptors analyst for Sportsnet. Game 3 is going to go in Milwaukee tomorrow. So let me ask you this. Have the Raptors discovered a formula? Because it took them a while to solve the Pacers. It took them a while to solve the Heat, and those series ended up going 7 games. We know the disparity in the standings, but this is a new team, and, you know, Antetokounmpo's making his playoff debut, and he's been worth the price of admission. Do we see this Raptors team kind of do this win one, lose one thing for a while, or have we seen enough where they kind of have that formula? I know they went 14 from 29 from 3, and you might not do that again. Do they know how to win in Milwaukee?
I mean, I definitely know how to win in Milwaukee, but it's a winning team. You know, Toronto's had a lot of success. It's a very good team with very good players. But every game in a playoff is different. You know, the adjustments are made. The players are going to play harder. The players are going to be more focused. You know, coaches are, you know, they're playing chess. It's just a different game. Like it'll start out filling out and things like that. But those adjustments that are made throughout the game, it's just very hard to put a read on it. Now, unless you're like the 80s Lakers and the 90s Bulls, and you knew those games could outcome, but none of these teams are that right now. So it's going to be different games, but hopefully you find out the mental approach that the Raptors need, that they need it in game two. You have to carry that over to game three and four, and that's the biggest thing. But from a strategy standpoint, everything's changed. So you got to just come out with that same type of focus.